Blog Talk Radio.
Here on Blog Talk Radio, I am Sweetie. I am with with All Poetry, the largest poet site in the universe. And inside of that universe is a group called Team of Voices. And I would like to thank Deb and the rest of her group for allowing me to jump up and talk and splatter my ideas all over the radio and all over that group. Within that group is a group of poets that like to talk, discuss, and have a good time. Just talking about poetry. Inside of that, tonight we are going to talk about Running Wild, Running Free. The song that you just listened to is Wild Child by the Black Keys. Black Keys is one of my new favorite groups, and that song is called Wild Child. It's first debuted from their titled from their album Dropout Boogie on March 10th, 2022. They had been working on it for almost 20 years. Patrick Carney had been singing, for so much fun. It's been like 20 years of being in a band, and this is the first time we're doing this. I put more information about them on our message board if you'd like to know a little about them. And I also put the lyrics on the message board, too, if you'd like to know why I like the song. I did enjoy the lyrics of the song a great deal. So I'd like to say hello to some of the people I have on the phone already. And we're already getting a lot of feedback. At least I'm hearing that. I don't know if you guys are hearing that, but I am definitely hearing that in my ears. Kind of getting to me that. So Blog Talk, knock it off, don't know what you're doing. But hello, Rocking Trigger, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, feeding back.
feeding back. All right, that's good to know. How's your Running Wild days?
Reminds me of college and before high school, probably. That was probably when I was at my wildest. Before there was responsibility and real life, I guess. You know, I grew up in a neighborhood where, you know, if at 2 o'clock in the morning you decided you wanted to go out and get pizza, you could. So I had some interesting times.
Good. And then my co-host might do everything for me because I'm lazy or I really just don't know how to handle anything techie, or because she's the greatest person in the world, and I'm going to go with that because she is the greatest person in the world, Miss Pretty Birds. Hello, Pretty Birds.
Well, hello, and happy to help where I can, so you're good.
She's also one of the most talented poets I know. And then, of course, the ruler of the world, my liege, my lord. Hello, AP. How are you tonight?
Hi, I'm well, sweet. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Hanging out, doing not a whole lot. I went bowling this afternoon to practice for my bowling league, and it was awful. I did not do well, so we'll see how it goes.
We have
mice in the somewhere. We have mice. I tell you what, I have got a world of interesting things to talk about. Running Wild, Running Free. I love the pictures I posted to be narcissistic enough to say so, but I love to watch animals run free. I love pictures where animals are running free, and I love to watch children when they're just free and they're in snow or they're in water or they're just, you know, doing whatever they're doing, and they have not a care in the world, because I think we lose that as adults. I think we lose that thought of, you know, who cares? There's no inhibition. There's like, I don't care what people think of me. I don't care about what's going on. And shout out any opinion as to what age do you think we lose that?
No filter in what they say.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I've ever lost that. But, I mean, just that freedom to, you know, walk out, you know, hey, I'm here. This is me, you know. I just wonder when we lose that.
I think
we become so self-conscious. I was six when I lost it. You have the precise age.
I have the precise humiliation, yes.
Oh.
Well,
maybe that's,
you know,
what makes us, we know the...
We are who we are without any thought to it being wrong or unacceptable until we're told it's wrong and unacceptable. You know?
Oh.
So hopefully there's a lot more people that, you know, are unaware of things like that for a lot longer. But, you know, it can happen young. The first time somebody says anything, you know, or that makes you aware that maybe you're a little chubby or maybe you can't do what you thought you could do because you thought you could do anything until somebody said you're not good enough. And for me, it was six.
Wow. I really don't know when it was for me, but I, you know, looking at that perspective, it was always, you're the girl, you have to be prim and proper. You know, I was raised around boys, so it was always, you know, prim and proper, books on the head. I was raised by a very Southern mother, very Southern, and a very, very grand English grandmother. So it was very, you know, ladylike at a very young age. You know, I was taught how to properly do everything. So for someone as sassy as I am now, I think that came later in life, not when I was very young. So.
You've always had that rebellious streak, though.
No, I think that came later. I think that really did come later in my life. I think that came after, I mean, you have to imagine that. I was a junior in high school. And I was pulled out of high school had told you're going to get married, you're going to walk down the aisle, you're going to say you're going to marry this man, you're going to get in a car, and you're going to go off to Hawaii with him. And never through that process did I say no. Never. It was very,
okay.
very obedient. So I did exactly as I was told. So I wasn't exactly, you know, disobedient or rebellious. That came much later. So I didn't think I got really loud and, until after my first divorce or right before my first divorce. I don't think I was really. I think I got rebellious about my early 30s. When my kids, like, I knew my kids were, like, old enough to start taking care of themselves. And then I got my degree, and I had gone through college. And it was just, like, 18 years past when I think normal people do it. And now look at me. I'm a crazy, rebellious type of girl. What about you, AP?
Yeah, I think I probably never was following the straight and narrow, Sweet. And I think probably as I've got older, I've sort of become, you know, able to be more rebellious because I've had more means to be able to do so.
I think that helps too.
It does. It
but,
does.
Yeah, I think that the more that you have, I think that all falls into, you know, Maslow's triangle. Like, the more you need, the less rebellious you
yeah.
become because you don't know where you're next.
Yeah.
What level you're at. So self-actualization is the ability to just, you know, tell everybody to go to hell because I know who I am.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Never thought of it that way, but I can see that. Yeah. Cool. All right. That was a cute little thing. And the other thing, I'm going backwards in time, but what did you think of the song, AP? I'm kind of curious because you seem to like it.
Love the song, Sweet. Really like the song. Big fan. Love the song.
Good. Pretty provided. I know. And Rack, choice of song, fits me better.
Oh, definitely.
All right.
Definitely.
All right. Now that I've blabbered on for the last 15 minutes, I think we should do poetry. Blabbered. That's what I do.
Could I be a little bit annoying and slip in quickly, Sweet, if that's okay?
Absolutely. You are on deck then. Throw it up there. Do what you got to do.
Okay. So. If you go to the dictionary definition of lemming, it will say it is a small Arctic rodent. It will also say it is a person who unthinkingly joins a mass movement, particularly a headlong rush towards destruction. Because lemmings, we all know, go and jump off cliffs. That's what they do in great big collections. Except they don't. This is running wildly, but not leaping. And it goes a little bit like this. We have all seen the footage. Lemmings running and then their leap. But in reality, things not as they seem, as these creatures not suicidal a peep. So yes, lemmings do have spikes in populations so new homes need, and they will swim in great number, I and many others readily concede. But they do not in number drown when jumping off large cliff faces. Okay, you say, how about the movie White Wilderness covered the bases? Well, it comes to pass the film producers, keen for a single good film scene to land, created a death plunge for their movie, pushed dozens to their death by hand. And so it pays to do your homework, as blindly following was no lemming. Instead, a myth created while reality, filmmakers, we should be condemning. End poem.
Oh, are you kidding?
I am
okay,
not
so
kidding.
I'm very...
I even went I even went to the fact-checking website, Snopes, to actually check this out, because that's what they do. They check things that are real and not real. And I quote from the Snopes article, "Did Disney fake lemming suicides for the nature documentary White Wilderness? The answer is true." And then it has all the details below.
Disney killed lemmings.
Yes, dozens of them. It actually took the. It actually gathered the lemmings. It gathered the lemmings. It paid people to get lemmings to them in Canada, where they aren't normally. They filmed them in Canada, and then they pushed them into the river so that they could film them.
My snow white heart has been blackened by a poison apple.
Yep. This is true. It is completely true. I'm sorry. It's true. Disney faked lemming suicides, and so now we all think lemmings jump off cliffs, and they don't. Well, they only do if they're pushed by producers looking to film them.
I don't even know how. I don't even know how to comment. I don't even know how to comment. Granted, the poem is beautifully written, now cadence, rhyme, all of that structural perfection. But you have brought controversy.
Yeah.
You have brought Watergate to light. This is like bigger than Watergate. That Disney.
It is.
Disney has killed animals.
Disney. Yes.
Disney.
Yes. It pushed them off the cliff. Yes. So I could film them. Yes.
What rhyme or reason would they have, bro, to believe that lemmings just run amok and kill themselves?
Money.
For the great lesson that you should not follow people blindly into the night? Don't be a lemming? Is that what they wanted? I
don't know, but... just,
for a stable? For a...
there was someone else
I did. This, my sir, is a show within itself. This poem, this information is its own personal AP at the pulpit show. I'm just saying.
Don't you like? I'm just saying. It's got everything. It's got animals. It's got Disney, and it's got you know, a controversy at its heart.
And a little touch of PTSD.
A little touch of PTSD. Pretty Bird, your thoughts on this mockery?
I am heartbroken.
Mockery
from horrendous. It's absolutely horrendous. I mean, that's just cruelty.
Yes.
Yeah, that is not okay. That's like a jailable offense, like everywhere.
Yes. Except Canada, apparently.
That is not okay. What people will do for ratings and money.
It's scary, isn't it?
Yeah, it's horrible.
But meanwhile, dictionaries all around the world have this household in it.
The unwitting masses.
Mm-hmm.
They should not be lemmings.
Well, maybe they were the umbrella lemmings. You know, and the ones that the umbrella pops open when they jump off the cliff.
Oh, like Mary Poppins. That's funny.
Mm.
No, it was a video game. Each lemming, you could give it a trait. And one of the traits you could give the lemmings was the umbrella.
I'm with you. I'm so upset. I have no idea how upset this makes me. Rack, your thoughts, your...
It was a touch of salt. It was a horrible subject, you know. I mean, it's funny that you mentioned Snopes, because, you know, that was the go-to site. It probably still is, but, I haven't poked around in quite a while. But, yeah,
you get those email chains, and the first thing you do is go to Snopes and see if it's true. Tell your friend, you know, you realize you're repeating a rumor, and sure enough, you know, well, this doesn't appear to be a rumor. That's, you know, I can't imagine doing that for a movie, but the idea of the lemmings, you know, blindly following each other and whatnot, I guess is a stereotype or however you want to put it that makes for good poetry, but bad pictures, or I guess it's for good pictures.
Yeah,
if you're gonna
play around.
Wow, that's pretty wild.
That's right.
Yeah, I can't hear that word without thinking of that video game. That was an awesome game.
Oh, my. This is fabulous. Thank you for bringing such controversy to my life. Now, AP, next week, I need you to do your very best to clean the calendar. For at least as much as you can. Because next week is the Mad Hatter had his mad birthday party.
Well, I will need to put some time in the diary and strike out some time there, if that's the case. But I will have it struck out in my calendar. That's the best way to do it.
Okay. I expect songs and balloons.
Stuff. That's what I'll bring. I'll bring stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
And you never quite know with me what stuff I will bring, because you know I'm a little bit sort of lateral. I'm a little lateral. You never really quite know. I'm a good example.
This is true.
So, there you go.
All right.
So,
there you go.
I'm going to leave you to it. And,
All right.
I don't know where you go after that, but. Somewhere, I think, is a answer. Somewhere different, you know, from that. Yes.
No, you broke my Snow White heart with Tell Me Disney Killed the Birds, and I will just live
Thank
with that and see what I can do. Thank you, AP. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Great. Thank you, Pretty Bird. Thank you, Rack. And we will talk again soon.
Absolutely.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Thank you. Okay.
Bye. Hello, Wayne. How are you?
Fine. I was getting in the house. I'm calling in late, so I just got in the house and wanted to hear your voice.
Aww. Well, AP just read about running wild and running free, and he told us that lemmings do not run off cliffs and die.
I just
In the film, Walt Disney pushed the lemmings off the edge and killed them. They did not commit suicide. So I'm very upset. Really. So there was no running free and wild. It was deliberate murder.
Maybe if they do it in the wild, they just couldn't wait for the shot.
I'm upset, and now my dogs are upset.
I'm not going to sit around waiting for those lemmings to run off the cliff on their own. I'm just going to throw them off the cliff myself.
I know. I'm telling you what. Right, my dog is like running wild and free and trying to kill the neighbor's dog. You can't hear him. Yeah, something like that. All right. I am going to quickly read my craziness. If nobody has a problem with that. So I can learn.
That's why we're here.
We have a caller.
Yeah. Oh, we do? We have another one? Okay.
That's why.
We do.
Would you prefer me to ring the doorbell when people pop up?
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. I believe this one's Adam. Am I correct?
No, it's AP again. Yes, it's Adam. What's up?
Adam. See, I know.
Hello,
Hello, Adam. How are you? Hi. Welcome to Running Wild on Sweet Discussions. So Wayne and Adam, I asked this earlier. What age was your most running wild?
What age?
Did you think you ran most wild?
68.
That's how. That's your age now, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I was pretty well for like 30 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you're still running at 68, I got to commend you.
I'm pretty good for an old man.
I'm not even 60. I can't run no more.
I don't ever stop.
I could see that way. I can see you got a ton of energy.
It'd be college days when I'd be my wildest. I reckon I'd be in from 76 to 80. Yeah, 76
is college age, Wayne.
Yeah, 23
to 30. 23 to 30
is my age as I was wildest.
Yeah. I think I did a lot. I don't know. I just did a lot of, yeah. I don't know. I think mine is there and then, and I have no idea. Maybe it's time to keep going and be even more. I asked that question, and maybe it has yet to come. I never thought about that. I like your answer, Wayne. Maybe it has yet to come.
Yes, I'm just getting warmed up.
Yeah, maybe we're just
changing. You know, it's a little went off a cliff, huh?
Yeah.
Poor Lemmy's.
Poor Lemmy, I know.
I know the game, Rock. I know what you're talking about, that game. Yeah, I know the game, Rock, you're talking about. I can't believe they did that with the real animals. That's crazy. What a wild misconception. Yeah. Anyway, Sweepy, you were gonna read your piece. Don't let me interrupt.
Yeah, I was. But I put the wrong piece up, so. Because I've always been. Yeah, I know. I put the wrong piece up, so I've got to do something real quick. And change it. I know.
Why don't you do something wild and read both?
Oh, no, I wouldn't do that. Because I've always been a New Orleans person, so I have to put the right one up, and I screwed it up, and now everybody's like going to be all like, how did you do that? Why would you do that? Yeah. So make sure I don't put up the really, really bad one. Yeah, that's the really bad one. No, that's like a rated X one.
Oh.
No, we can't do that one. We can do this one. Which is
X-rated.
Somewhat, no, I can't do that one. This one is somewhat to a true story that I've written, but we'll just go with this one, which I'm sorry, I know a couple of you have already heard it, but it's one of my favorites, so. Here we go. All right, this is Headlight Halos by CP. Headlight Halos inflame the waterfall of rainbow colors and oil slicks that cascaded from mountainsides of other boots, creating tsunami waves in her path as she walked. The amber glow of her cigarette matched the color of her hair. Emeralds envied the depth of the green in the gaze of her eyes. The onyx fabric of the dress sanitized the whiteness of her skin. Raindrops dripped out of feet atop her umbrella, a rhythmic tap-tap. Led her into the memories of the night, the samba, discos, and tangos, splashing dry bits for tongues, the salt within still tingle. Intimacy denied in a crowded bar across dark rooms sunk. Smells of old floors and antique walls distinguished. Massless sexy musk of fingers that played her intimately. Butterfly kisses started at her ears and ran down her neck, across the edge of her bodice. The bodice of the dress, the chains of the necklace rattled against the bumps that rose on her skin. She held the umbrella over her head as headlight halos at the path towards home. The parasol over her head kept her hair dry, while parts of her still stayed wet and cold.
And the other one was really naughty?
The other one was much worse.
Oh, my. Well, I don't know about worse. I think it's pretty gosh darn good. I absolutely love that this tickles all the senses. I mean, you've got the visual descriptors. You've got the sound of the rain, the oil slicks that, which, you know, that's like my favorite hues of all colors. It's like you're like little puddles of Mardi Gras. You know, it's just fabulous. And you kind of pull us into this moment. And there's something to be said about how the onyx fabric sanitized the whiteness of her skin, especially at night. It's almost like it makes that beautiful alabaster skin reflect light even more in the absence of it with the clothing. Kind of like a fabulous highlight of bare shoulders and collarbone and whatever the heck that dress is going to look like. I absolutely loved that. But my favorite part of this entire thing is a line, intimacy denied in a crowded bar across dark rooms of smoke. You know, that sets an absolute mood, even before you get into any of those sultry moments. You know, everything starts at a distance, a glance, the momentum of closing distance, the way heat builds and the way you watch each other move. I absolutely love how that pulls through all of this. And then you put us right there with the smell of the bar or the jazz club or whatever it is. And whew, yeah, so those parts have no hope of drying, I'm just saying. So Rack and Tor, what do you think of Sweet Sexy Bits? Oh, well, this is not Sunday. What do you think of this lovely poem?
I think the day that I meet her, I'm going to kiss her hand. I really enjoyed it, you know. She's got a way of creating mood and setting a scene, and, you know, you could definitely put yourself into it. And, you know, where she's concerned, it makes it, you know, that much more wild, I think. That adds to the flavor of it. She's got beautiful colors in there. She's got vivid imagery. It's just, you know, the kind of thing that would get her a marriage proposal if she wasn't already committed.
There you go. I can't ask for a better endorsement than that. So, Adam, what do you think of this sultry piece?
Yeah, it's definitely sultry. My goodness. Wonderful. Like, what beautiful language and descriptive, you know, words and imagery to really set the scene, the mood, bring your reader in with you. You know, it matches, you know, the picture. Obviously, there's some personal reflection in this, too. It's so cool. I find it like this woman goes and it's kind of on the prowl to get her jollies, but not to, like, engage in anything other than that, and then head home, which is really cool. I like that. It's very strong to me. Like, Sweet Pea often writes very strong, empowering pieces. Sometimes, you know, they're sad. Even in her sadness, though, she's strong, and I always appreciate that. And this is just, I love this. It's a strong woman going, you know, have a night on the town without having to be with anyone other than who she's going home to. If she is going home to anyone. Great piece. Amazing.
Gotta love a piece that tells a story that takes on a life of its own when you read it.
And I'd like to say hello to Deb, and I want to know if you had a chance to read or if you heard her read the poem.
Well, if we are on the Halo's poem, I didn't get to hear it or anything, but I do remember it because it was for a contest that I had a few years back. Is that the one you're referring to?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Cool. Because in my comments I said, wow, by the time I got to the following line, I read it and chills danced down my body. And that line was, butterfly kisses started at the ear and ran down her neck. It was an incredible poem, and she did win the silver for that. But, like, I think this was the beginning of me finding out what a star you are, if you want to get technical.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Yes.
Back to you, my sweet. Oh, Wayne. Wayne, I did not forget you, Wayne. I love Wayne. I am so sorry, Wayne.
Me again.
Your thoughts.
Anyway, I think this poem is very sensual. I think it has a lot of sensuality in it. It's very, very lot of good, great details in it. And I think the one detail everybody's missing that I think is the most sensual part was the last line, which is, all parts of her still stayed wet. I think it was the most sensual part of the whole poem. But it's a very good job. It's being very, very erotic, kind of. I like it.
Well, it was my leather boots, if you tie that back into the front of the poem. But a lot of people got really, like, their minds went somewhere else, just FYI. But, yeah, it's one of my favorites. It's definitely one of my favorite Running Wild kind of, you know, that whole jazzy. And it was really fun to write because I always have fun when I'm in the Orleans and at the blues and all that. So that's my favorite, one of my favorites. Yeah, I have a lot of, yes.
Didn't Silk like this one so much that he wrote a response to you for it?
Yes, he did. There is another poem written by Silk Black Rose in response to being the man that did the things in the bar, which is not exactly rated PG-13. So, yeah, he's definitely...
Yeah, that's what I thought.
By
yeah, it's
lovely writer. Yeah. To this. Yeah, Soak had a good time with that, too. So, Deb, I know you have a limited time, so I have two questions for you. Is how Running Wild are you? And are you more Running Wild now? Do you think you'd be, like, more as a kid, or are you yet as Run Wild as you think you're ever going to be?
Well, I think I still have my moments, but I was more of a wild teen. I love the nightlife. I
love to boogie.
I don't know what to say. And one of my favorite things on the whole planet to do is flirt, and it's a fun thing. And add a shot in the beer or something, and it's a little more wild. But I'm not a wallflower. I never was. I never planned to be.
I don't ever see you as a wallflower either.
Never.
I can't imagine.
More of a calla lily.
Okay, you are up, darling, on the board.
Okay, so I had a hard time picking one of the animals because you put some really cool things up there. And I wanted to try and steer myself towards the Bambi, but I saw something happen on the road, and I couldn't get it out of my mind. So I went to the beautiful dancing, prancing pony. Anyway, it's called Kicking Up Dust and Racing with the Winds. Here we go. Prance for the waltz with the whispering winds as warm afternoon breezes bounce ebony hair. dashing through the yellow buttercup meadow, sniffing the honeysuckle that perfumed the air. With no buckled headgear, with straps and bits, and no reins to lead steps, no saddle to wear, just kicking up dust and racing with the winds, then playing all day as the gold sun rays glare. Bordering the forest colored 10 tints of green that house squirrels and hives for honeybees, hemlock, aspen, birch, and ash branches sway out by the sugar maple and the black cherry trees. Tire swings hang from the giant swamp maple, hanging over the blossoms of pink sweet peas. The landscaping dots the ranch with colors, and flowering dogwood dangle on tree trunk towers. Hummingbirds and finches fly by her landing to sip nectar from their pyramidal tulip tree flowers. Two muscled studs strut neath the thick limbs as clouds float on the sky, then spritz sun showers. So under Mother Earth's sprinklers, her legs trot, flashing her curves as three nag sisters glower. Twin stallions trail her to eat apples and pears, then go frolic in foliage neath the setting sun. On grass-green catwalk legs and lead them home. As the nags neigh and snort, then they all run. But her fanny wiggles as her tail whips round, a stud on each side, and this equine two for one. And home.
Oh, my God, that's gorgeous. And actually, I like two twin stallions trail her to eat apples and pears and go frolic and frolic with the setting sun on green grass catwalk as the nags neigh and snort as they all run. But her fanny wiggles as a tail whips round, a stud on each side, and this beef one, two for one. Well, 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 isn't that a tad bit sexy? I thought that was quite humorous there. Look at my little wiggle tail. You have the humor in there. But what a beautiful landscape. And I love your first stanza as you take off all the stuff that holds the horse back. Like there's nothing. He's just free to be him, and there's no restrictions, nothing. He's in control of who he is. He doesn't have to listen to him. I love that. And I love the smell of honeysuckle, by the way. And I just love that he's free and everything's just beautiful. Way to be. I mean, you got the beauty of nature, you got the beauty of him, and you've got the little sash of her. So I thought it was a great story poem and a great bit of humor. And as always, you've got the perfect rhyme and cadence in here, the inner line and all of those things. I love two muscled studs strut beneath the thick limb as clouds float. Your detail and your imagery is always impressive, and this one just right there. It just paint the perfect picture of everybody there having a good old time. And I love your author notes for sowing wild oats. So it's just great. Beautifully done as always, my queen. What did you think?
Thank you, my sweet.
Wayne.
Uh-oh.
Yes. What's a lovely poem that you wrote there, Deb. You just wrote it a while ago, so it's amazing. Yeah, perfect balance in it, great storyline. I like the rhyme scheme where you have where the line rhymes. What kind of education did you get that would be able to write such beautiful poems like this? I just can't imagine how you could possibly be able to do this without some kind of fancy education. Why did you learn how to write like this?
Practice. Doing lots and lots and lots of radio shows.
She had a lot of hours in the saddle. Great phrases. Very many in the
saddle.
Great job.
Thank
you, Wayne. Great comment.
And
Raconteur. Oh, what better way to run wild than to horse around? I thought it was fantastic.
Oh, he's full of them.
the idea of the nicknames for stallions and things like that. It just it flows well, and it definitely twists the story, you know, giving it that dual meaning. I always love that when I could find that in writing. Sometimes, you know, it feels unintentional, and sometimes you could tell that the authors did it on purpose. And, you know, you definitely enjoyed writing this one, I could tell. It was lovely, and it felt like a very celebratory and definitely the letting down your guard and running wild was prominent. It's wonderful.
Thank you so much, Reckontor.
And Adam.
Yeah, I love this. I'm along the same mindset as everybody else. I see the metaphor for life in this, you know. And you can tell it shines through that you had a lot of fun, and it's a fun piece to read. It's like so much great description. It's very slow building at first, and then it gets very fun and kind of like they have a personality start coming to life in this, and you realize this, you know, forces out there, and there's you know, the catty other women who are, like, judging her, and she doesn't care. She's just doing her thing, and it's so funny and, like, enjoyable and fun, and in the end, hey, two studs better than one. All right.
Amen.
Hey,
by the way, in high school,
welcome back.
High school, hold on. My nickname was Stallion, so, all
right.
I had a whole dance and everything. I swear to God, I was an idiot.
Uh-oh. Talk about running wild. Hot child in the city.
Now it's going to be in my head.
I love that song.
Good. Thank you for coming back.
We?
Hey, did you get a chance to read that?
I did. I only caught the last verse and a half by the time it let me back in here because, you know, sometimes Blog Talk just hates me. But I did get a chance to read it, and I absolutely love the details in this. I tend to shy away from anything nature because me and nature do not commune well. But if nature looked like this where I lived, I'd be out there commuting all the time. And what a beautiful thing. It reminds me of watching the wild horses in this little island off the coast of Puerto Rico. They just kind of run in the street. And it's just really amazing to watch them do their thing. But this is just stunning in all its detail. And the flowers and the finches and the hummingbirds and... Yeah, now, who doesn't want to sit on each side? I'm just saying. I absolutely love this, all the nuances of it, the muscles, the way it just absolutely comes to life. So, you know, that's kind of awesome.
Thanks, doll. Appreciate it. Great comment, everybody. Thank you.
So, I'm trying to figure out who we're going to put up next. Let's see. How about we go with Kay? Okay. She is on the board. And she's at the top of the list in the studio. Do you want to hit it or do you want me to? Go ahead and hit that.
Hit it.
Hit it, baby.
So to answer the prompt, the long and the short is, anybody who really knows me knows that I'm a very reserved and quiet person who commands respect only for the fact that I have spent most of my life being raised by abusive family members and being in abusive situations where I no longer will accept a lot of things that are being thrown my way. But if you get the honor of knowing me, then you also see that I also can be a very silly, lighthearted person when I break the silence. So I feel this right fits very well, and I call this grown old as an option. Where the sidewalk ends is up to you. Magic is all around if you choose to see. Peppermint sensations of love equate to ramblings of the inner child alive. You see, even asphalt flowers have beauty. Some can't look past the ugly to find the fundamentals. Realms of sparkle that brighten the day. Mixed in with pupils that can't be avoided are the imagination of the child that refused to die. Despite the ugliness of life, if you can't find the magic of simplicity, and at the end of the sidewalk, you won't understand the cuteness of a day. If Queen Victoria wants to be a radio star nightly, while on the couch sleeping is a ginger sweetie I affectionately call Guns because of his strange strength. Understand the color of sparkle that brightens your day. Above all else, be weird and unique at the end of the sidewalk. You lose sight and jaded views if you stop embracing the child within. And poem.
All right. Freebird, can you take over for a second? My computer just shut down.
Absolutely. You know, I
all right, I
got to
reboot.
I love the way Kay kind of reminds us that, you know, if you can't look past the ugly to find the fundamentals, you know, Realms of Sparkle to brighten the day. I love that game, by the way. It's nothing but good memories of my kids, and it's the only time I've ever played that game. And so I love the little nuggets of just daily life that she celebrates in this, and she's absolutely right. Where's that cute line, the line with the cuteness? Something about the cuteness of the day. Where is it? If you can't find the magic of simplicity, then at the end of the sidewalk, you won't understand the cuteness of a day. I love that. And there's so many little moments. You know, it's so easy as an adult with, you know, responsibilities and, you know, expectations and yada, 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 all the boring stuff of life. It's very easy to get in a rut of overlooking all of the good because we focus on more negative things and more responsible adult things because things need doing, you know? But I can't imagine most days go by without, you know, at least a moment or two where you smile, whether it's in memory, whether it's with people, whether it's at a stranger down the street, whether it's a phone call with whatever the situation is. There's always a moment or two in a day that could serve to pull you out of that rut, out of that space where life can just get to you. And this is a lovely reminder. I think she did a great job with that. So, Raconteur, what are your thoughts on Kay's poem?
I like she started off saying that she's reserved, but it made me think the opposite of that, because she offered us something very revealing, and you know, revealing isn't necessarily when you talk about clothing. You know, this is she brought something from her life. You could tell. I always remind myself, you know, it's poetry, so it's not necessarily factual or whatever. But you could tell she's speaking from her personal philosophy. And when you connect it to the words like that, it's just, you know, that much more attractive and meaningful and beautiful to me. So I thought this was lovely, you know, a way to get to that point that she talks about, you know, when you get to know her. So, you know, she's actually letting us in and dropping her guard a little bit and running wild in offering this piece. So I really appreciated it for that.
Absolutely. I mean, there's something to be said about connecting to a piece you write personally, because not every piece has anything to do with anything. But when you connect with it, it does tend to be more impactful for those who read it. So, Ms. Deborah Lee, what are your thoughts on Kay's poem?
You know, I actually think this is my new favorite from her. I like all the little nuances she put in. I agree with you on the part about the cuteness of the day. You won't understand the cuteness of the day as Queen Victoria wants to be a radio star nightly. And the cuteness factor was like an overload there, because I can sometimes either she takes a little nap on one of their laps and you can hear her purr while they're doing their show, or she literally talks. So I really got a kick out of the fact that she added her in there. But I like the truths and metaphors that she put all through here. I think that, like, breathe in my ear to wake me up, or at the end of the sidewalk, you lose sight. In jaded views, if you stop embracing the child within, I say never, never, never stop embracing the child within. And I'm noticing it's a gold winner, and it's on, like, well, with mine just being added, it's on 5 lists. Yeah, definitely my new favorite by Kay. Great share.
Awesome. And Adam, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I love this. It's a great view into her philosophy. Rack really covered that whole base. It's shows us a piece of her. And, you know, after the introduction of the author notes about her personal life a bit, it really, this is her bringing us in into a philosophy, a wisdom she's found through everything. And basically your life is yours to make it as you wish. And she hopes you can see the beauty and magic and cuteness of all these little things around that make life beautiful. And I really love it. My favorite part is I love, you know, the sidewalk and then the sidewalk again in the middle and then the sidewalk at the end, because it goes wherever you want it to. It's not that it necessarily, it ends where you want it to end. Where do you want to go? Anywhere you wish. What do you wish for? Hopefully good things and beauty, because it's all around. And my favorite part is, you know, above all else, be weird and unique. I just love that. I absolutely love that, because people should. There's too much, you know, other stuff, as she kind of mentions lightly in the end there about jaded views just kind of can crumple all that beauty. And it's not, you know, it's hard. You know, that can catch on. You know, negativity can catch on, but positivity does the exact same thing. It's a domino effect. And this is a beautiful, beautiful piece, Kay. I love it.
Absolutely. And I kind of really love the sarcasm of the title, because this is all about not letting your heart grow old, not getting jaded, not this. It's like, but, you know, growing old is an option. I mean, you can do that if you want to, but, you know.
Right.
I kind of really enjoyed that. So, Sweetness, is your computer back up?
Yeah.
What'd you think of Kay?
I love this, especially since it talks about where the sidewalk ends, which is self-secrecy, and he's one of my favorite poets, and this has been one of my favorites of hers, and I understand why Deb talked about it. It sets that tone of, you know, thinking about where things are in front of you and behind you, and really just playing and being playful and being at peace. And I really love that about what she's talking about and where she's going with it. So I think, Kay, thank you for bringing it back out of, you know, the old closet and dusting it off, because I think it's perfect for running wild and running free. So on top of Kay's, I think we just go ahead and put Stephen's right behind her.
That's true.
Did Wayne drop?
He is on the board. Yes, Wayne had to go.
Yeah, unfortunately, Wayne did.
Okay, so Stephen is on the board. Let me know when you want me to hit play.
Go ahead.
Tomorrow, 10 a.m.
Hey,
good morning. Hope you enjoy the view, by Steven 76. With swinging tires and streaking speed, Sunrise Depot crowd still drowsing. Styrofoam vessling steaming caffeine. With rapt digits to each onlooker. Limbs raised and palms erect. Devious grin inflated cheeks. As confectioned, creamed, and ebon spills on speckled vinyl composites. The sweet sound of yelled obscenities fill canals, while boiled grounds tinge the most sensitive of nerves. All that is left in their awakened memories is the jiggling full moon as it vaults the subway turnstile. End poem.
All right, then. Oh, my God. All righty. And that is Running Wild and Running Free, as free as you can be. Oh, my God. It's the tickling full moon as it vaults the subway turnstile. Well, sometimes we forget our pants as we run to work. You never can tell. It happens to the best of us. This is great, Stephen, once again. Nothing like making me giggle, as always. God, I don't know what to say. You make me giggle. I love with the picture that coincides with this, I do not think you should be having a styrofoam vessel of steaming caffeine. I'm afraid that might do something to your devious grin inflated cheeks. If you spill anything that might hang from those beautiful cheeks might be a little bit boiled and hit some of those sensitive nerves. But I love it. I think it's great. And if you could take off all of your clothes right now, you would be free and running amok, amok, amok. Have fun sleeping with your hot coffee. Love it. All right, Pretty Bird, your thoughts?
I don't know what would piss me off more, having to see, you know, flailing nakedness or having the coffee smacked out of my hand at Subway. Because, with people's caffeine before they're awake, but how brave is that? I am loving that the boiled ground seems the most sensitive of nerves. So there was a little spillage, and, you know, and all that is left is... It's a jiggling full moon. You know, you gotta love it. You gotta love it. You know, it takes, I don't know if it takes nerve, stupidity, or just this wonderful and absolute freedom to not give any craps at all. You rip off your clothes, go running through a crowd, bothering the crap out of people, and jumping for safety out of the way. I really, really hope that somewhere on the other end of that subway station is somebody with his clothes or a robe or something, because I mean, I've got nowhere to go at that point. But this is absolutely hysterical. Fabulous.
Yeah, that's funny. And Rack and Tour.
Yeah, I was a little distracted by the goat, but I thought the story was great. So not being able to see any of the imagery pictures, I had to rely solely on the words to get what he was talking about. And you know, he made his point. It was pretty cool. It wasn't, you know, he didn't hit you over the head with it. So it was a little subtlety there. And I love that, you know, that you know, when you read into it, you have to wonder, you know, especially for me without the visual, is that what he's talking about, you know? And he really did a great job with it. The story was cool. And like I said, the goat was a little annoying, but, you know, my affinity for animals, now I just want to sit here and bow all night, which I know I can't, but, you know.
And Adam, your thought?
Oh, man, Stephen, you are so funny and such a great writer, man. He just has such a unique way of writing out a scene that is so poetic. Obviously, this is poetry, but I mean, so great, you know, this is so wild. So there's a GIF, you know, or GIF, I don't know, whatever, on and it's Family Guy with Peter Griffin streaking naked in front of the mayor, Adam West, who happens to glance up at the right. So this is a GIF that's above the poem. So the sound, I very goatish, but I think it was Peter Griffin's whole line sound that he makes on Family Guy. But my God, the hilarity of having that just repeating as he reads. I'm there with him, you know, on the streaker, on the, I guess the subway, you know, just knocks the coffee out of my hand. And I'm like, what the heck am I even seeing right now? It's just so wild. Great piece. So funny, man. So funny.
Okay, then that was his laugh trailing off then. It wasn't the goat. You're right.
Either way, it was hilarious.
Just thinking about it, I'm laughing, man. Just thinking. Oh, man. I wonder if Steven was the streaker.
Maybe
his, oh, my.
His early days. His early days.
He's on a hot streak. I think he has a lot of tens.
God. That's funny. All right. I think do I have everybody in the studio? Let's see. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, wait. We got a Hatter coming on. Hatter.
Hat Attack.
Hey. Unmuted.
Hat Attack.
All right.
Remuted.
So we getting crazy? Going crazy? What was the response? Letting loose.
Crazy.
You know, I couldn't think of anything that I could share without getting in trouble. So I wrote something, just a night that I'll always remember, that kind of thing. Went from broke. Okay.
All right. Well, I'm going to... Hello. We're listening. I'm getting comments for Stephen's poem, and then I'm going to roll into Treebird's poem. That's okay. And then I'm going to... That's all right. I know you like to talk. And then I'm going to roll into poem, and then I'll roll into your poem. Okay? And you're going to make comments and be happy, and then we're going to talk about next week, which is the Mad Hatter's birthday bash.
That's right. You say it's your birthday.
Bremen was
the All-Star game will be played. I hope it's before. I hope they play early. So it's the All-Star game.
I don't care. You better be here for your birthday. I'm gonna hurt you.
He wants to score on his birthday.
It's a show off thing. I mean. Yeah, they have the home run derby. It's the day before. Oh, I think it's the day before, huh?
That was a hat joke.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Yes.
So I went to the doctor.
All right. Yeah, how'd that go?
He says I'm getting much better.
Good.
Awesome. Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. I'll shut up.
That's okay. You cracked me up. Pretty Bird, you're up, sweetheart.
Okay, this is In the Wind, in public, wherever the heck I want. And it goes like this. Dancing naked by the light of the moon. I watch my reflection swirl in the window, taking my time, bathing in the moonlight, feeling the cool wind on my hair, spiral ribbons of liquid night. Keep your clothes on, but don't get mad when I won't let you watch. Screaming into the ocean as it swallows the sound, the frustration evaporates in the full body flexion of a primal howl. Anxiety ain't got nothing on the catharsis of the week.
crazy is as crazy does, understanding that normal is crazy, and insanity is where no one reins it in for the benefit of others. He snapped my spirit in silence, so I cried, and he laughed, and I laughed, and he yelled, so I yelled, and he cried, for having changed what he thought he loved. He called me crazy. He called me a liar. I called him a cat. Throwing my anger into the ocean keeps my mind clear and my body away from meds. Keep yours to yourself, and I'll keep mine off your shoulders. I cry at movies and stream tears in my perception of your pain. You laugh because you're tired of crying. Snorting at piggies makes me happy. Singing loudly any place I go makes me fearless. Just because you don't has no bearing on who I am. Maybe you should scream at the ocean or dance naked in the moonlight. Try singing loudly in public and see who you are when you let it all go. And poem.
Pretty good.
Wow.
Yes.
Sorry, I had to unmute myself.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I have dogs. I like that you want to dance naked wherever the heck you are.
After Stephen's
poem. Take your clothes off, but don't get mad. Yeah, take your clothes off, but don't get mad when I won't let you watch. Crazy is as crazy does. Understand that normal is crazy, and insanity is where no one reigns it in for the benefit of others. I love that. Oh, dancing naked wherever the hell I want. Keep yours to yourself, and I'll keep mine off your shoulders. You just, you know, you have these powerful punching lines that you're just going to tell that person, you know what, I am happy, but it's going to make you miserable. But shut the hell up, because I don't really care, because I'm happy. You laugh because you're tired of crying. I cry at movies and stream tears in my perception of your pain. I love that one. I know it's probably like, you know, I'm crying at movies because I know you're going to be in pain. But in my, you know, but in a way that's just kind of, yeah, I'm going to cry because of your pain. You laugh because you're tired of crying. There's just so much, you know, I don't know, trying to sing loudly in public and see who you are when you let it all go. There's just so much in here. I just, it's like pain in, pain, just let go. Just let it out, release it, go. I just love this. He called me crazy, called me a liar, and I called him a cab. Yeah, come here, Uber. I got a bag full of crazy, and I packed its bags, and they're pretty light because, you know, he left all the bullshit with me. I really love this. Very well done. You always just have a way of bringing it. Adam, your thoughts?
I appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I love it. It's very hip to me. So interesting, these transitions and the very, you know, very pretty bird lines and strength throughout. And then, like, also interesting, cool metaphors and things I'm really loving. Screaming into the ocean as it swallows the sound. You know, frustration evaporates in the full body flexion of primal howl. There's like so much cool. This is so hip to me. It's so different and cool. And just the transitions. I feel like it's like a window into a very specific moment. There's an overall story of just like the moral of just be yourself, do you, and who cares. And I love that, and it makes me love the piece. And then we get that little, you know, the little kind of story within of this jerk and good, get in the cab and be gone. I love the whole thing. It's great. It's great, Pretty Bird.
All we wanted to do is watch.
And Hatter, your thoughts?
Well, I got to say, okay, who laughs and snorts? Somebody knows somebody that – is that what that
– Oh, I
snort,
snort
and I'm
laughing real hard, but
is that what that means?
No, I just – I love pigs. And so whenever I see them, I snort at them to see if they'll snort back. And it just brings me joy, like, because I'm an idiot. But that's fun for me. I have a dog that snorts like a pig, so I snort at her. She doesn't snort back. She just snorts when she can't breathe, but it still makes me happy. Not that she can't breathe,
hey,
because she sounds like
a pig. Yeah. To this day, I can't go down a country road when there's a herd of sheep or cattle without rousting them up.
Let's go.
Very good, very good. Yeah, Sweet's right. You've got a great way of telling a story. And it's just the little nuances that you do right. It's the words you choose to describe things. You don't have to have $26 letters or words in there to try to make a visual, let the reader get an image in their head. You do quite well.
I think that those $100 words have a place. It's just not absolutely every place. You know, they're not always needed. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love my big words, but sometimes
sure.
You don't need them.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, I knew this one lady. She was an artist, a very good artist, and a poet. She wrote the most beautiful lines. And it was like one after another, after another, after another, and it really led nowhere. But they were beautiful lines, beautiful words, beautiful lines. And she confused me a little bit. Everybody thought she was great. They go, well, she's not really saying anything. So you can overdo it. That was my point.
Pretty birds' lines are like cocaine. They make you snort.
Overdose on beer.
Oh my gosh. Raconteur, your thoughts.
Oh, she knows I'm a huge fanboy, and you know, I wouldn't call it a story only because, you know, it she's always about truth, and this is our truth. And you know, it's unusual to see her cut loose because most of her poems are dark, and she doesn't do happy, and you know, she's dancing naked in this. So I kind of want to say, well, there's another one that I would rub your nose in and say, though, that sounds kind of happy to me, even if you are putting the guy in the cab. You know, and in my world, you're putting him in the cab because he wanted to watch and, you know, not participate, I guess. I don't know. But, you know, he ended up in the cab, and you know, that's the attitude that I like about, you know, you, because your world is your world, and if you don't like what's going on, or if you call it crazy and you want to get rid of it, then you send it on its way. And, you know, that's, to me, that's logic. That's the way it should be. And that's, you know, the other thing I like about the way that you write, because, you know, as much as you want to, you know, joke or whatever about the metaphors and conclusions you come to, you can't argue with them, with you, you know? So it's like, well, go ahead, prove me wrong. I'm getting in the cab. Leave me alone.
That one's wrong. Yeah. The cab.
Absolutely. All right, Adam, we're going to throw your poem. Huh?
Okay. No, I was just going to ask you who's up next, but you said it, so I'm going to shut up now.
Adam? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
You don't ever have to shut up. If you want to say, you want to talk all you want. But Adam's up next.
Adam,
all right, so
on the wall.
This is actually a song, but I'm not going to perform it. I'm sure you can get the... maybe Hatter could sing it if he liked. It's got a... So the vibe is very... No Doubt, I don't know, meets Blink 182, meets maybe, I don't know, Sabat. I don't know, it's a weird style. Anyways, so verse one, this is called Youthful Muse, and this is kind of a brief little kind of window of my past. There's not much really dark going on here, but you can surmise through the attitude. Anyways, there were rhymes without reason, strumming my guitar for the feeling, hearing the beat, can't keep rhythm, out of tune, but still singing. Just no luck, never break even, gave away my last buck, I'm not eating, a little depressed, but still decent, my mind's so gone, but I'm never leaving. And the chorus goes, so love what you got, love what you got, love what you got before the black parade. And it goes to verse 2. Turning every page without reading, 1,000 words, just take a picture, changing my mind like the seasons, but sometimes it's just winter. Idealistic, hope-filled and unrealistic, neurotic, self-doubting, obsessive, over-romanticize everything, but full of passion and feeling. And then it's like the same chorus. It's a little different, but so love what you got, love what you got, love while you can before the black parade. Verse 3. Attached while aloof, played the fool, played it cool, yesterday's gone, can't wait on tomorrow, but often it's filled with anticipated sorrow. Youthfully naive, like a daydream, think I can do any damn thing, until I fail at the one thing, running still out of fumes and out of steam. Then the chorus is a little different again. Love what you got, keep loving, it's what you got, love is all you have before the black parade. Verse 4. No map or navigator, ignoring signs, my way, my life. Pathless traveled, yet least resistance, my destination, this journey. Changing direction, the road's built for U-turns, but often I crash and burn. It's okay, because I'll just walk. And then the final chorus, so love, just love what you got, love all the way to the end, love what you got before it's gone, love every step, every breath, love what you got. And that's the end. Ta-da.
I like the guitar chord at the end. That's pretty special. Wow, I thought this was really good. First off, I can't do chorus and song at all, so that's a great cadence. Great, musically, melodic ways to write. That's a talent, and talent I don't have. I can barely do "Twinkle Twinkle Little Star." Although Pattern will tell you his favorite song I ever wrote is the one horned goat named Joe, the last song I ever wrote. But this is beautiful. There were rhymes without reason, strumming my guitar for the feeling, hearing the beat, can't keep rhyme, out of tune, but still singing. I think that is something that's actually beautiful, because I think if we sing out of tune, that's something, you do out in the shower. That's something people do when they're happy and they don't care. It's just the feeling to sing in the car and nobody's listening, and just to sing your favorite song, because I do it all the time. And especially when I have my headphones on and I'm in the house and I'm by myself and I'm singing like whatever I'm singing, and somebody walks up to me and taps me on the shoulder, I'm like, oh my God, I was just the biggest fool. Luckily it's people that love me and they don't really care, but my son will sometimes make fun of me and go, you know, the windows are open, right, Mom? And I'm like, oh, shut up. But I don't care, because it's what it is. Love what you got, keep loving. It's what you got. Love is all you have before the black parade. And, you know, I'm assuming that's death, if I get the metaphor. Attach while we played the fool, played it cool. Yesterday's gone, can't wait on tomorrow. But it's often filled with anticipated sorrow. And I wonder why we do it. Why do we anticipate sorrow instead of happiness? You know, I've said in the past before, hate is the only thing we don't need a ribbon for. And that's pretty sad. Why we have to fight for love. Why love needs its ribbons. And hate is the only thing that doesn't need a ribbon. You know, God help the day when love doesn't need to have the ribbon we fight for. I really enjoyed this, Adam. I think it's got a lot of really great metaphors and a lot of little subtle lessons in it. It's very well done. My pretty bird, what do you think? You're welcome. Pretty bird, what do you think?
Pretty bird.
Pretty wants some poetry. Okay.
Champion, taking care of the dog. So, rat.
Lame solidarity.
Say it all again.
I got to start off with teasing you just a little bit. You know, you're reading it. You didn't have to tell us that the chorus was different. I think we kind of realized that on our own. But other than that, I thought the reading was good. You almost performed it, which, you know, I would have preferred if you did because, you know, just telling me Blink 182 and everyone else is not the same as hearing you sing it. But, you know, I feel deprived a little bit because I was looking forward to you playing it. I enjoyed the verse. I enjoyed the story. So, you know, again, that also makes it a little more disappointing that you didn't sing it. So there you go. I'm encouraging you to you know, however you want to put it, annoy us, play with our ears, or however you want to think about it. I would have liked to hear you perform it. But, you know, I like the idea behind it. I like the story that you're telling and, you know, the idea of enjoying yourself with a black parade, as you put it. You know, it was really cool. It kind of felt like, you know, a journey.
Thank you, Ray.
And Hatter?
Yeah, what song did you have, what music was playing in your head? Is it something we would...
It's my own...
Your own.
Guitar, okay. Yeah, my own rhythm, but it's like, that's why I kind of equated the feel of it to kind of give the vibe. I really didn't want to perform it,
yeah.
And I haven't recorded it yet, so it's like, eh.
Yeah, I got the reason I asked is I sort of got the feeling that at certain parts of 10 years after I want to change the world, just and then parts of it, but it broke out, so that made me curious of what was going through your head. If it was a similar song, well, we would know. It's very good.
The beginning felt like what's the name of that song? Give me the beat, fill my soul, wanna get caught in your rock and roll and drift away.
It's
Drift Away.
Bill Withers. It's yeah. Drift Away.
The beginning felt like that.
Give me the beat, boys. Feed my soul.
So it's actually very high tempo, and it's like. My guitars are like right here too, but I'm not gonna do it. But it's like there were rhymes without reason, strumming my guitar for the feeling. That's kind of how it goes.
Okay,
I'm on the beat, can't keep rhythm, out of tune, but still singing. And then it goes up another like, just no luck, never break even, gave away my last book, I'm not eating, a little depressed. But so that's kind of how it is. It's very punkish. New kind of vibey, not so new because this was like 20 years ago nearly. Most of this was written then when I was 16. So that's why it's very, you know, kind of, yeah, there's kind of a deep message in there, but it's also very like young, you know. That's why it's the youthful muse. I'm much more sullen now, I think. I don't know.
Hey, sweet. I bet he could scream Alice. Huh?
Alice!
Cool.
All right, pretty bird. Yes, I was initially chatting away on mute, so I was like, my bad. That line, out of tune but still singing, is the story of my life in a nutshell, unless people are, like, staring at me. Like, I don't care if, like, random strangers in Walmart stare at me if I'm singing. I give no shits at all. But, like, if I'm going to be doing karaoke, I have to be drunk off my ass because, no, I can't with all the people staring at me. But other than that, I'm constantly absentmindedly. So I really kind of love that, you know. But so Love What You Got, that kind of – stood out to me because it's not so much for me, and I'm sure that I am just, you know, odd, but for me, when I see that, it absolutely pulls to the surface that most people don't know how to love themselves. And if you don't love yourself, you can't then hope for somebody to love you the way you need to be loved. And so having said that, this is a little bit heartbreaking to me because, you know, it's love what you got, and it seems very outward, but it's still you got to start with you. As a woman who fluctuates, it's not like I have that, you know, down and I'm good with it because I ain't. But, but you know, it's one of those fundamentals. And, you know, if you don't love yourself, how do you expect anybody else to love you? It sounds like a load of crap, but, you know, it doesn't mean that it's not true, you know, because we first have to find value in ourselves before, and then we don't give a crap if people find value in us because we're good. But that's a long road, and it's not very easy, especially in a world where people crap on you. So I love this. I love that it's positive, you know, like you need to look at the good that's around you and not just be in all the things that may not be so bright. So I like that. I mean, I could be wrong because, you know, it's been known to happen, but that's just what it feels like.
Thank you, baby. You're right.
All right. So Hada, you're up next, baby.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I see. Okay. Oh, I commented already.
No, I meant your poem, darling.
Oh.
You're on the board again.
See, this is just okay. I went with just a night that I'll always remember. It was I was still young, very athletic. It's called Running in a Trespass. The night was foggy, cold from the rain, cruising in my Firebird looking for a game. The lights were on at the stadium. We both thought, one more pass. Let's jump the fence and throw, I said. We headed for the grass. The fog sat over the football field. The lights made it a dream. You know we'll get in trouble. Trespass, it will seem. The frisbee flew very heavy. The fog was oozing the mist, going long for distance, throwing from the wrist. We ran like years before this night, memories of our football years, running like the wind does sound, knowing what we'll hear. Pausing for a question, why no one has come to say, you're not supposed to be here, so you too go on your way. Puzzled that we were left alone, the stadium we scanned, sitting at the very top, a janitor and a policeman. Pointing to the fence, we jumped to see if we should go. A voice yelled from the very top, "We want us watch. We want you to throw." We ran apart to show our tricks, knowing someone was there behind our heads, spinning frisbees through the hair. We performed for over an hour. The janitor came down to gawk. We're done for now, but thank you. He opened up the lock. I've never seen that before. The janitor confessed. We can come again next week and show you our best. So every Saturday late at night, you might see me and John under the lights, playing like we were young again, running off our ass. The night I'll always remember, like memories from the past. Yeah, we jumped the fence.
You know I don't like you.
Get in the video.
Did you
catch
the frisbee in your teeth?
You know I don't like you, right, Hatter? You always do something. Hatter.
What?
You and your poetry, you're killing me. You know that, right?
It was
I love
just,
it.
Yeah, but we were quite the frisbee throwers in that day. I'm sure you've seen them.
I know.
The trick. It was great. It was cold. It was cold. It was in the middle of winter. It was after football season. Our home field was lit up by the lights. It was misty and foggy, and it just made it look really unreal. So we couldn't resist. We jumped the damn fence. And we could have gotten a lot of trouble, but I guess the janitor is in the cop. He just sat up there. He sat up there and watched us. A lot of fun.
Throwing frisbees in the stadium, right?
What's that?
Throwing your frisbees in the stadium.
Yep. Could throw it over 80 yards.
You know I love you, right?
Was that because he could catch the frisbee in his teeth?
No, pre-bird, make your comments, please.
Teeth.
Sure. I love this.
Thank you.
There is that nostalgia and joy, you know. There, not everybody has a yesteryear or a heyday. Sometimes life just is what it is the whole time through. And I find this kind of amazing that even when you're doing, you know, something a little illegal, that it's such a beautiful thing to watch. That they're just like, not only can you just hang out and do your thing, but come back next week. I think that is really just awesome. There's just joy there, and it was really a beautiful thing to ride along with.
Yeah, I think they were saying, well, you know what? There's two guys that could be out causing trouble. This is like 11:30. We couldn't believe the lights are still on. So we were willing to, you know, to confess why we were there to some judge. Yeah, dude, judge. Lights were on.
Guilty with an explanation.
Adam, your thoughts.
Yeah, it's a great poem just for what that is. You know, it tells this true story, this moment, this it has a very strong nostalgic effect. It pulls the reader in with, which then they relate, which I did, you know, into my own life. And I start thinking of similar things and my friends and yada, yada, you know. So it has a good effect with that. Even though it's a, you know, specifically, you know, your moment with your friend, which already in that moment, it's already nostalgic, right? Because you're going to your home football field where you used to play. You're a little bit older. The lights are still on, bro. No, shit, let's go. So it's already kind of a nostalgia within a nostalgia. It's like, because now you're writing about it later, you know, because I remember when you're like, you know, you get a little bit older, you're no longer either in high school or whatever it may be, college maybe for you, if this was. And then you kind of, you know, you go around your old stomping grounds from just a few years earlier, and somehow it still has that strange, powerful effect, like it's been 10 years or 20 years, even so briefly after. And you kind of give us a window and then into another window, you know, from the long haul after looking back at this moment. And it's very cool, man. I loved it a lot. And I love that, like, you know, you're breaking the rules a little bit, and yet it was enchanting. It was enchanting to the observers. And they even welcomed you guys back. They're like, go ahead, come. If you see the light on, come throw the frisbee, man. That's awesome. So awesome.
Yeah, well, thanks. You know, that's back when an 8-foot cyclone fence meant nothing. You just hurdle it. Yourself over, not a problem.
That was before they started topping it with razor wire.
Yeah, well, you know what? They did have it. They did have that concertina wire, but not over the gate.
Concertina, yeah.
Yeah, concertina, yeah. And when that's why I put the verse in, the janitor came down when the night was over. He said, you know, I got to go too. And it was about after midnight. So he unlocked the lock so we didn't have to jump the fence.
Right.
Really cool. Thank you.
Okay, Seth, Hatter. So you and I have something in common. We always have. And that's our love for the Australian Shepherd.
Yep.
So, and now we have the love of the Frisbee. Which is very odd.
Yeah, I told you.
I play frisbee with my dogs, as you know. And I got to tell you the story about frisbee dogs and stadiums. So the whole thing, the sport of frisbee dogs got started because a man broke into a stadium with a dog to play frisbee. The dog's name was Ashley. It was during a baseball game, and it was a live baseball game. It was a whippet. The dog was a whippet, and his name was Alex Stein. His name was Alex Stein, and I believe it was in California. I'm not sure. I think it was the Dodgers that they were playing. And he...
I remember that.
He jumped in. Yeah, he jumped in the middle of the baseball game, started playing frisbee with his dog, Ashley. He was actually arrested. The dog was taken away from him. And after that, it kind of just took over. And now we have this huge sport of disc dogging, and it's crazy. And now you have disc doggers that play all the time. All three of my dogs currently, hopefully my fourth dog will soon, have played in the Colorado Rocky Stadium. Friends of mine have played with the Denver Broncos. Many of my friends have played in almost every football stadium across the country. Several have played in a lot of stadiums. In September, my husband and my dog, Mystique, will be playing in the School of Mines Stadium. I cannot tell you how many stadiums we've played across the country. So when you talk about frisbees and stadiums, I mean, just, you know, knowing that you have the Aussies and my Aussies are now playing in stadiums too, it just totally kills me that, you know, I can see you out as a kid just tossing the frisbee out there. And playing under the lights and everything. And it is just something amazing to be on this beautiful grass in a stadium, whether it's football or baseball, and you're playing frisbee. Now, granted, I'm tossing it to a dog who's catching it. the longest throw and catch that my husband did, not me, there's no way in hell, is 80-something yards with my dog Shadow, who passed away a couple years ago. And that was his longest catch. The world's longest catch, world record. Right now, the world's longest catch is 122 yards.
Oh,
and that was done with it was done with a whippet mix.
2 yards.
Yeah.
That's 2 yards over the end zones. They take a football from the end zones. More than that. That's a hell of a throw.
Yeah, and it's done with a gentleman. The gentleman's name is Gary Duke, and he's a friend of mine. But, yeah, it's 122 yards. It's crazy. So I love this poem like you wouldn't believe. It just sticks to my heart. I just love it. I can't believe you wrote a poem about freedom and frisbees, because I'm like, how did I not even think of that? And you did.
I asked you once when I first met you how many frisbees you go through,
and I told you I buy them about 300 a year.
You did, because we threw the Super Pro and the Master frisbees, which were different weights. The Master was heavy, big black one.
Yeah,
and I threw I threw like a baseball. Not overhand, but underhand. Yeah, like I'm throwing sidearm.
Right.
I throw nothing under
104. I don't throw anything under 104 grams.
Right. Yeah, super.
So
I think it's 145, 139, and then there's a different. I forget the grams.
Yeah.
Super Pro.
Yeah. All right, we've got one more. We've got ages to do before I Yeah, Angel, have, before I go into
and Rack.
Just reminiscing about the... Oh, Rack, I'm sorry. Your thoughts on this. I'm sorry. I got nostalgic and loving and happy. Oh, I know Rack had a poem. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm just floating along. I got wrapped up in frisbees and dogs and puppies and stadiums and green grass and raindrops and dew. I'm sorry. These are some of my favorite things.
Okay, let's go.
Let's go with Angel. Pretty Bird, you going to read for me?
Sure.
Excuse me.
Thank you.
This is Dance of Freedom by Heavenly Angel. Kind of goes like this. Once shackled in chains of self-doubt, of insecurity, I was bound by own precepts, limitations, living my life to suit others, giving control to those who sought to belittle me, to destroy any self-esteem I had. I almost shriveled as dried parchment was thrown into the fire. But as the phoenix rises from the ashes, I broke free from the chains that bound me. I found my purpose in being. I dance in joy, in pure bliss, celebrating freedom to enjoy this life given to me by the Creator. I am alive. I am free. Blessed be. And Paul.
Wow.
You can hear the harp in the background. Ring, ring.
Oh, Hatter. You have a way with words, don't you?
Or the high ones.
I love the title, Dance in Freedom. And I've already, you know, this is already on my list. Oh, no, not this one. There's the other one where she dances. She has a couple of dancing poems that I have. I take that back. This is not. Giving control to those who sought to belittle me, to destroy any self-esteem I had, I almost thrilled as dry parchment when thrown into the fire. But as a phoenix rises from the ashes, I broke free from the chains that bound me. I found my purpose in being. I love that. And this is not the dancing poem I thought it was. Wow. I am alive. I am free. Blessed be. Amen to that, Heavenly Angel. I just amen to that. Because so many of us want it. So many people would rather throw sticks and stones and fire and just tell you how bad you are because it's impossible for them to look in the mirror and show you how great. You know, if they see their evil and they see their pain, they'd rather cast it out into others than face who they are. And I thought this was just rise as the phoenix. Never give away your control. Adam, what did you think?
I thought this was a great piece of against everything, trying to, you know, as she kind of explains in the beginning, half trying to bring her down against what is her natural way already, everything trying to destroy that, and yet she finds strength in that and resurrects. I love, you know, the idea of resurrection through the phoenix. That whole metaphor is close to me. And finding yourself in that, you know, being so close to broken or defeated, but, you know, they use what is yours personally against you to try to destroy you, but that happens to be the thing you find the essence and strength of self in to then blossom or rise as a phoenix and be truly yourself and free. This is a great piece. I love it.
And how are your thoughts?
Yeah, was there... Oh, she's not here. Can't ask her. I was thinking if there was a specific event that she was able to pull the beginning from, you know? First time you'd public speak, or somebody throws you on the dance floor and you're not as comfortable with how you dance. An embarrassing moment, what you consider an embarrassing moment. Well, I got at the beginning. Did anybody else get that? Insecurity, change, self-doubt of insecurity, as bound presence living in my life to suit others. Give control to those who sought to belittle me, destroy any self-esteem. Well, my imagination's pretty good.
No, I think you're right on there, and it probably is something to do with dancing. I would figure. I mean, but then it could maybe not be, but it's something performance-based where I think she was with peers.
Yeah.
You know, she was young, around catty other girls, maybe boys too, that were just, you know, destroying each other because that's what they do. And it's not so, you know, not all of them, but, you know, you tear other people down to build yourself up, and she was allowing those things to destroy her slowly, but then found her strength, you know. So, yeah, I think you're right about it. It's something of that nature, some performance.
Yeah, if you remember the beginning of the horror movie Carrie, what they do to her.
Well, dump the blood on her?
Well, embarrassed her. They made her, they elected her queen of the hospital and then made fun of her. Yeah, and then dropped blood on her. Shouldn't have done that.
No, they should not have done that. All right.
But,
and Pretty Bird, your thoughts?
I think this is wonderfully empowering. It takes a lot to get out of the expectations of others, of being taught that you can't do things that you would love to do because, you know, you're not good enough or that's just not what you're supposed to do, of whatever reason, whether it is peers, whether it is family. I mean, these things happen. It's how we're taught about society when we're young. No, you're not supposed to do that, or no, you can't, you know, it's all of these things. And whether this has anything to do with the performance or not, I have no idea, but it's a wonderful testament to life itself, where giving control to those who sought to belittle me, to destroy any self-esteem I had, that could be anybody from a boss to your mama. And oftentimes when it comes to family, they don't even know they're doing it. They think they're being helpful. They're like, yeah, are you sure you want to wear that outfit? It kind of makes you look fat. Because they think they're being honest and helpful, and all they end up doing is making you feel fat when you thought you looked pretty. And so it could be a whole lot of things. And I think everybody who reads this will pull moments from their own life where they felt meek, you know, bound. I was bound by preset limitations. And that's everybody else. Thinking that you can't or shouldn't or you're not supposed to do this because of whatever reason, instead of just why? Or I want to, why can't I just try? And so I love that she transitions into I'ma do what I want, I'ma dance even if I have no rhythm. I am going to just enjoy all of my moments. And
okay,
I think it's wonderfully empowering.
Okay, Elaine.
Well, listen, she absolutely was loving life till somebody told her she can't dance and ruined her day.
Yeah,
like that Seinfeld episode, Elaine dancing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and
you know,
I thought there was wonderful undercurrent of faith in this. Despite being knocked down, she embraced it and chose to enjoy herself and be happy with what she had and you know, her life as it was. So I mean, the whole thing is lovely.
Absolutely. And then I think we're done with our poems, right?
No, Rack. He's on the
Rack's
board.
Poem. I keep forgetting Rack getting me stuck. Rack's poem. Here we go.
So
Rack's poem. I'm sorry.
All right, you know
what we do? You know we do that?
Here we go.
Abandon by Rack and Tour. Love me with abandon. Trust me with your fears. Laugh with me always. Let me wipe away your tears. Safe in my embrace, my life complete with the love that you impart. Know that you're the reason for the beating of my heart. End poem.
You went cardiac.
Wow. That's gorgeous, Rack. I mean, it's not a lot of words, but it's a gorgeous poem.
Yeah, but what a beginning. What a beginning. Classic, old school beginning. Love me with abandon.
Safe in my embrace, my life complete, with the love you impart. Know you're the reason for the beating of my heart. Well, thank you, little kitty. That's Hatter's kitty. That's Hat's cat. Wow, I think that's gorgeous, and whatever woman you end up writing all these poems to is just going to love you to death. It's just gorgeous, and laugh with me always. I love that line, laugh with me always. Because I think if there's no laughter, there's not going to be much love for any longer. I think laughter is one of the keys. If you can laugh with someone, then you can love with someone. And I think that's just beautiful. So, Freebird.
Yes. Love me with abandon. You know, I love that when you said, Sweet, you know, times when you just kind of cut loose. It is a really beautiful to want to be loved wholeheartedly without a care in the world and to love that way. Because not everybody does, you know. People want to put restrictions on what love should be instead of just living in the moments that love could be. And this established, trust me with your fears, which is not an easy thing to do for most people. And, you know, and I know that you said that if you can laugh, you can together, you can love together. But if you can cry together, that works that way too. You know, because not everybody, I at least speaking for me, because I cannot speak for the universe at large, but if I can have a crazy moment of cathartic boo-hooing without judgment and without trying to fix what really isn't broken, then I'm good. That's a keeper for me, you know, and it takes a lot to trust somebody to not want to be in there and try to make things better, to just be there and let people go through what they go through. And then when they're composed to be all, now how can I help you smile? And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And love me with abandon. And it's a sad thing to me that so many people don't understand that concept, that don't do that, that they're like, well, because I did this, I expected you to do that. And they get pissed off when you don't text back in 5 minutes, when they don't return a phone call. No regard to whether or not they're busy or if they're like, I lost my phone at Sam's, lost it for a couple of hours. Nobody can get a hold of me. And these things happen. And I didn't lose my mind because most of the people that have my number know that if I don't get back to you, it's because I've either got shit to do or you know, I'll get back to you when I can get back to you. But so many aren't like that. And so to love without restrictions, to trust enough to be able to do that is a beautiful, beautiful thing. There's so much in these two verses that it's crazy. This is how you do a brevity. You pack it full of everything and you make people think.
Right. And Adam, your thoughts?
Yeah, I love it. It's got that true sort of love feel to it. It's in all the ugliness and all the laughing and all the, you know, the tears and everything, to love no matter what, with that abandon, throw it all aside and love without judgment or anything. Like Breaver said, I mean, throughout everything she was kind of explaining, even speaking just for herself personally or whatever too, this is just a great, I mean, what Rack's saying in this is, you know, is great, because fears are, you know, sharing. Because I think
there's an intimacy in sharing your darkness with somebody, also having laughs with somebody. And, you know, obviously he was there for the pain too, because he's wiping their tears. He covers like every level within just those brief lines you can imagine in the depth of loving somebody, to know them all the way through. All the way through, you know, it's not like there's some sort of image you're loving or a veneer or whatever. You know, because even when you start getting in early relationships, there's levels you have to get through to start really getting to the nitty-gritty of what makes a person tick or whatever. Like, you know, I mean, just everything, right? From the silly things like farting in front of each other. You don't do that, like, early on. You know, there's such a thing, or like you turn on the water when you're taking a crap or whatever. Like, you know, just the weird things like that, they go away. And the deeper and more as love and time passes, love gets stronger, like these things fade away. And it's all really, I don't know, it's a great piece, Rack. I was expecting some sort of pun or double meaning with it, and it was pure. That's what I loved about it. I was surprised because it was totally pure. Not that you always do funny, but sometimes you'll do double meanings or triple meanings, and you'll interweave like so many thoughts together. Mm-hmm. This was pure, and I loved it.
Well, you got farting in front of each other from it, so there's that.
That was just a loose example of like.
You wanted me to be funny. There it is.
Okay, now my show is completely out of farm with gas and all that kind of stuff. But that's funny. All right, guys, it's after 10 o'clock. I'm running over, which is crazy. So, what's going on this week on the show?
Well, I know that Friday, Liquid Damage has a show. She is doing open poetry. Mm-hmm. And let me see when it starts.
Okay.
This is Friday at 10 o'clock. So drop a piece, call in, keep her company. 10 o'clock on Friday the 15th. And on Saturday, if I can find
Saturday's been postponed to Saturday's been postponed for a week.
Oh. Well, all right, then.
Yeah, something scheduled, yeah.
Keep it under your hat.
Keep it under your hat. Well, I don't know about Sunday night. I don't know what we're doing. But I know Monday, Dev has her show. And then Tuesday's the Bag of Mud. It's the Mad Hatter birthday show. It's Mad Hatter had a birthday show next Tuesday night, the 19th. So everybody come, pass the word around, pass the hat, because it's the Mad Hatter had a birthday show.
B-O-M.
Well, you're just brimming with excitement.
B-Y-O-M.
I am. I'm so excited because it's not the anti-Mad Hatter had a birthday show. It's the actual Mad had a birthday show.
Yeah.
So I'm excited.
Right.
Because I've done several anti-birthday shows, but it's the first time I've done a real birthday show.
The unbirthday shows. It's every Friday the 13th.
Yes. So I've done enough of the un-had a birthday shows, but this time it's a real birthday show. So I'm very excited.
Cool.
So, it's had a birthday show. So it'll be Hatter loves music.
I was going to suggest that you write like a birthday poem, and then we could all try and top Hatter. Anyway,
it's going
to
be music, Hatter loves Hatter poems, because Hatter likes poems read to him.
What?
So, mm-hmm.
Is that your light bulb impersonation?
So I'll be.
Hey, we pushing for time. You know, I wrote a poem with no prompt or anything. It's just sitting, and I place. It's never going to be read. Can I read it?
Okay.
Push for time. Are we over? We're already over.
We're over.
You can read it. Go ahead. Go ahead and read it, because you know I never say no to you.
I just want it. I just want this. Now we're over. We're past. I can wait.
I know.
All
but
right.
I have to get up in the morning.
Well, he can read it on his Saturday, on his birthday.
You can read it on your birthday. Save it for your birthday.
You can read some poetry.
Good idea.
Damage.
Good idea. Okay.
All right. All right. Love you guys. We're going to say goodnight.
All right.
Thank everybody in the whole wide world that's listening, everybody that was in my studio, because I love you all. You guys rock. I can't do this without you, especially Pretty Bird. You guys are Pretty Bird, who helps me do everything because I'm an idiot or because she's the kindest person in the world. And as always says, I'm going to go with the second one. And, of course, Raconteur, Adam, Hatter, Wayne, Deb, AP, you guys are always there for me. I really, really appreciate that. And let's see. And for everyone, and I do mean everyone that writes for me, and, you know, I can't do that without you guys. And that's, of course, Pretty Bird, Stephen K, Heavenly Angel, AP Taylor, Adam again. Pretty Bird, I said that twice because she's amazing. And the Mad Hatter, Hatter. So thank you guys. I'm blessed.
And
very blessed to do this. I did say rack. I said rack twice.
No, but
I'll say it again.
Okay.
Racka. Racka and talk. Or she likes to do, say my name. So I will. James. There you go. How's
that? I wish it was Sunday.
Like butter.
I like butter. All right. Good night, my friend.
Thanks.
So anytime you want me to say your name, Adam, just let me know.
Okay.
And I'll say it for you, too.
Well, shoot, I want you to say my name. Well, not right now, though.
you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Is that what you're trying to say?
Thank you. Okay. Talk to radio. Goodbye.
Good night, everybody. Good night, my lovelies. Have a good one. May your meanings always be in your favor. Good night.
Mm-hmm.